Another thing is that Grassy Narrows issue had has, I guess, like, internationally, people are aware of this community. It seems like it's weird because, like, all our reserves communities are small, like a little speck on the map, but yet we could have such an impact in the world where people will take notice, you know? It's...
But a handful of people with no resources, no government backing, working against the police force and the ridicule of the nearby communities, stood up to a multi-billion dollar multinational corporation and stopped them dead in their track.
We had we went to a press release in Toronto, and it was in regards to the mineral extractions in the northern Ontario, and we had a peaceful march. We marched to the convention center in Toronto, and I think we scared them because they just, you know, came running out of the convention center into their cabs, into their limousines, and they just took off. The ones that stayed behind, you know, they were rude, you know, like, go get a job, you know, go home. And one of them even was saying, you know, hey, let's live like cavemen again, you know, like, come on, let's go live in caves, you know.
There was this one time we went to Bald Note's office, and the students started making little price tags, like 5, 10, and 25 cents. And, like, we were all talking outside, and we were thinking, like, since he's selling off our land, we might as well go sell off his office. We went into Robert Note's office, and the secretary looked like she just freaked out when we went walking in there and started putting price tags all over everything in his office and going through his documents and all that. And that was really fun for me because I was pretending to be Robert Note, sitting in his desk and reading through things. And one of my teachers looked at his desk and he was like, hey, this desk looks so nice. Like, this would look really good in my classroom. And
You have to do whatever you can. And if that means, for some people, giving up their job, and sometimes they're making their families a second-level priority and giving up things, you have to do it. They didn't just deliver a message to make themselves feel better.
Last year, I came on this tour last year. I'd met with John Weaver, the CEO for Abitibi. Asked him a few questions, and I'd asked him if he knew where they cut, how much they cut, and how much they take from our land. And his answer was he didn't know anything. And I was like, well, you're supposed to be the chief. You're supposed to know all this. And I told him to quit trying to, like, because he's offered our community lots of money and a lot of jobs. And I told him that we didn't want money or anything, that we just want the clear cutting to stop. And I told him buying a saw. And he actually had the nerve to show me his wallet. And he's like, how can I buy you guys off when I have no money? And he showed me his wallet. I just seen a lot of credit cards.
It's hard for normal Canadian citizens to stand up against the government because they'll get shot in jail. Well, natives too, but it seems like it's our role to do that, to head it or to be at the frontier of it, because traditionally it's our job to be the caretakers of Mother Earth, to take care of Mother Earth. And a lot of us have forgotten our roles. So it's really empowering to see natives standing up for the land finally, you know? Like, it happens here and there, but Grassy Narrows is awesome because it's, like, been up there for so long, blockaded. To my understanding, it's the longest native blockade to this date. And that's something really to be proud of, because every generation we just get stronger and stronger.
People always wonder, how can we keep on going in our struggle when it seems so hopeless, when it seems so slow into achieving our goal, into stopping clear cuttings in our area completely. For me and for others, the encouragement we get is from the younger generation who ask us questions if we're still going out talking to people right now, who are asking us if we're still turning back trucks, who even kind of lecture us, asking us how come we're not doing it now, right? Like, how come we're not keeping on doing it? You can imagine how little ones can influence you so much. I think about them a lot. They keep me strong, and I just wish that with all the trees and that's been taken right now, parts of it is something that they won't be able to enjoy.
I believe that our children are most important, you know, our grandchildren. I'm a grandmother, like not today, but maybe 60, 70 years from now, so I don't want it to be just a memory, you know, like once upon a time, you know, we had a forest here, we had a forest there, and all we have left is the iron forest, a man-made forest, where the trees are perfectly aligned, you know, they're built perfect, you know. But our trees are not our trees anymore because their spirit is gone, their spirit got cut.
A lot of people ask too, what could they do for us? And in some ways, that is a difficult question too.
Every time when I drive by a mill, you know, you can smell the wood burning and I think, you know, hey, that's a spirit, you know, I mean, that's death. But, you know, we build buildings out of them. We build houses. So where's the balance, you know? Like, how big do our houses have to be?
Another thing is beautiful over there. I love it. It's like the trees, the waters, the lakes. It's almost like paradise.
We wrote a lot of letters to the MNR, the federal and provincial government, Indian Affairs, and Abitibi. And for some reason, it seems like our letters get lost in the mail. We never get no response back. So last year, we went to Toronto and delivered our letter face-to-face, I guess. And we made sure that they got it, and we still didn't get no response from them.
We're actually planning a trip to the UN, get a busload of youth, elders, the people of the community that are involved, go to the UN and give our presentation. Even though a lot of countries, a lot of issues are presented into the UN, and this should be one of them, because it's not only affecting us, it's affecting people of Kenora. People of Kenora, they also trap and hunt and harvest blueberries. And we've been told by many of them too, the non-natives, that they're happy with us, what we're doing, because they're affected as well. They lost something too important to them. And that makes us feel good that...
We have a lot of support from Ottawa, like Aboriginal organizations. The tour that we've been on, we have a lot of support. You know, we have, you know, people from Windsor, Waterloo, Hamilton, Guelph. Oh, Kitchener. We have people, like, you know, that travel to Montreal to come and, you know, be with us, you know, because they're pretty cool people. What Grass and Arrows did, like, it's so inspiring to our people. The women from our First Nations, they believe in the youth and the people of Grass and Arrows because what they've done, they've given us hope. They've given us something to believe in. They've given us the strength to realize that, you know, our youth are so important and we're doing this for the youth. We're doing this for them because I probably won't be here in 60 years from now. Or even 70 or 50 years from now, but they will.
And right now, Mother Nature is sick. There is a day in the early days that they're expecting to go out in the forest to be taught by their Shumish or their Kukam. That's their grandmother, grandfather, or their uncles and aunties, to have a days of lessons on how to survive off the land, get different teachings on how to say plants and trees in our Anishinaabe Ojibwa language. As they're on their way to the area where they're supposed to get these kind of lessons, imagine this young child looking outside, looking forward to today's lessons. And then once you get to a full stop halt in your vehicle and he's wondering what's going on, he looks outside and he sees what's bothering his Gukam and Shumish. And he notices this big, big space where there is no trees and the earth is destroyed, where there is no life, no sign of animal life anywhere. And so the child house, that he must have been wondering, what's going on? I thought this is where I'm supposed to learn how to live off the land.
So I'm going to go home and we're going to seal the north. We're just going to close it right up. The seven fires will be lit at every entrance to the forest. We're going to light a fire. We're going to put four teepees at every entrance of the four colors of the four directions. The elders will stand with us, the women and children, fathers and sons, the babies are going to be there. We're going to have a hard time, you know that, but you know what? When you look up and you look around, you know, you realize you're not alone. There's people that actually, you know, care and love the land. We're doing this for Mother Earth and we're doing this for our children.
In a community, like Rusty Nails. You don't realize what is available out there, what you people can do.
Is very much a story of success and positive things, because, you know, a number of people that is substantially less stopped Abitibi Consolidated. The Ministry, Ontario Ministry of Natural Resources, Indian and Northern Affairs Canada, the Department of Northern Ontario Department of Northern Development and Mines, right where they wanted them. For some people, for me in particular, a couple of years to realize it almost, but the community had everything that it wanted.
It's kind of like a small world within our community.
You are all invited. Some people have come up thinking they would surprise us. It's not possible. There's still enough of the forest left that we can make a meal for you, or more than one or two meals. There are space in our homes, and we'll sleep on the floor so you can sleep in our beds. I've been so impressed in my time in Grassy Narrows at how people who supposedly have so little can find so much to give.
But when you go out in the forest, it's a big world, beautiful world, where there is no noise of vehicles in a city, no smells of exhaust or sewer, just natural beautiness. And you're all invited to the blockade. And so it is still alive right now. And there's no logging happening right now, thank God. You're welcome.